For a time, we tried to contact him by radio, but no response.
Welcome everybody to episode 8 of the Dumb Marks podcast, and this week there's nothing better than two Dumb Marks, so we upped the ante and added two more. So now you have four Dumb Marks coming at you this week, and congratulations to Jason and Donald for being the newest Marks added to this special edition episode. Hopefully we can get some tag team action going forward for you guys and bringing these two opinions in here on different occasions. So, gentlemen, I'll start off with how was everybody's week?
It was good. Long work week. Just came back from vacation, so...
That's the worst. There's nothing worse than that first week back after vacation. Like, you just sit there and question all your life decisions. Like, do I really want to be here? Is this really what I want to do? Why could I not be rich and have a longer vacation?
Yeah, it's very true.
And then you come back and then you have to do everybody else's work for them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Love that.
Jason, how about you?
Work and sleep, man. That's all I do. Work and sleep.
So I had something interesting happen to me this week. I went to pick up food Friday night. And as I was leaving, instead of saying, have a nice night, the girl says, Merry Christmas. It's October 23rd.
It's time.
80 degrees out, and I was told, Merry Christmas.
Hey, it's time. 6 o'clock Friday morning, my wife had Hallmark Channel and Lifetime on for the countdown to Christmas. Like I said, she's already had a Christmas tree up in the house, although she decorated it with Halloween ornaments, so she called it a Halloween tree. Whatever, it's a flipping Christmas tree. You just threw shit on it because you wanted to have a Christmas tree up at the beginning of September, so...
It's one less thing to put up in December.
Yeah, you know, they start putting Christmas stuff out earlier and earlier every year. I got nothing wrong with the holiday. I like the holiday. I like decorating the house with lights and everything else, but can I at least get through Halloween and be the fat kid that I am and enjoy Thanksgiving before I start worrying about Christmas?
That's why I was so upset when she wished me a Merry Christmas, because I'm the type of person that one holiday at a time. Don't put one before the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I get in retail why things go out early, you know, like, you know, just for people to buy stuff and no one else has shit going on now anyways. But, you know, it's just like, okay, if you're going to celebrate something, Halloween hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
We're a week away from that. No, Halloween, then you get a few weeks of Thanksgiving, you know, build up for that. And then day after Thanksgiving, whatever you want to say. You want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, whatever. You're... Game on, day after Thanksgiving, not October 23rd. All
right. So that's Chris, a.k.a. Scrooge. Wow, Merry Christmas. That's unbelievable. So I think my biggest news of the week for myself here, and I was already disappointed with 2020 last week as you guys listened with the delayed release of the Little Debbie Christmas Tree snacks. And this week...
You got your soulmate over here with that one.
This week, my belief in 2020 just continued to spiral down as the Peanuts, Charlie Brown, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas episodes will not air on cable television for, I don't know, the first time ever. As they'll be streamed on Apple TV. Apple TV can go fuck itself. I mean, come on. Seriously? That's one of the most un-American of America things you can do. Yeah. Is not play the Charlie Brown specials during the holidays. You know, what's next? You take Frosty and Rudolph off CBS and stream because some streaming service paid the rights for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
Yes, it is. Coming soon.
I mean, it's 2020, man. I mean, unfortunately, that
you got to make that money.
Now, if you aren't an Apple TV subscriber, Apple TV did come out and say that they're going to give each episode, the Halloween, the Thanksgiving, and the Christmas episode, a couple days in a row where you can stream it unlimited. So you can still watch it, even if you don't have Apple TV. But I agree, it's... it being on, I mean, ABC, I think, has had the rights since early 2000s. So, I mean, it feels like it's always been on there, but,
as my two kids are getting older now, and my son's 16, my daughter's 10. However, as a family, those were the episodes besides your, like, Frosty and Rudolph's, but those were the ones where we still sit down as a family and actually watch and enjoy the shows. So my household is up in arms over this news. Nobody is happy with it. It's not going to make me want to subscribe to Apple TV. It just pissed me off more that it's on, and it's something that for as we get into the future and more streaming platforms come into play, I don't want to pay $10 for 75 streaming channels to watch stuff. Like, I know cable prices can be high as it is, but at the same time, like, to me, it's not something that should be on a private streaming service.
I have Apple TV. I got a free year of it for upgrading my phone this year. It's awful. There's nothing to it. There's nothing to watch on there. Their whole platform, and from what I understand, they are trying to be in talks, like, to acquire content, much like Netflix and Hulu has content. Like,
well, they got Borat, too. Right?
That's Amazon.
Oh, that's Amazon? Okay.
I haven't watched that yet, but...
Again, fuck Apple TV.
Yeah. It's just... Apple TV does have a couple original movies, does have a couple original TV shows, but there's really no content on there other than that. Like, a lot of stuff to watch other than, like, they have, like, a new Peanuts series, which is why they acquired these as well. Their whole thing on there is that they want you to sync up your Netflix membership, your Hulu membership, your Amazon membership, so you can watch it all on Apple TV. And it's, you pay for that. You're paying $5 a month for it if you didn't get the free year of it. And I don't think it's even worth the $5 a month. I'm glad they're actually giving the Peanuts stuff a couple days, because if I'd be telling people not to pay for it, even to watch it. Yeah, your kids might enjoy it. It's only $5 a month. But still, it's like, it's not worth it at all.
Yeah, so that's my disheartening news for the week. Not to mention, here in Pittsburgh with COVID, they've announced this week that they're going to cancel the light up night for the holiday season, and mall Santas are going to be virtual this year. I get the whole not doing in-person Santas with the kids because of COVID. I understand that, but for light up night, they could throw that on TV like they do the 4th of July celebration and can watch it.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't ever go to light up night because, I mean, honest, one thing that I love about COVID is I don't like going into groups of people.
No, so, I won't do light up night. That's too many people.
Yeah, it's way too many people.
One area for me. So
I'm cool with them not doing it. I agree. I think if they would do something on TV, I think that'd be better. Still do it, but then you actually give people a chance to watch it. But, yeah, I think for the kids, not having them all Santa, that's the one that, that kind of makes Christmas.
Right.
Whenever you take the kid to go see Santa, and especially for maybe new parents that, just had their kid this year.
First year, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get that first year with Santa.
Well, the new normal, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, at the end of this year, when the clock strikes midnight, it doesn't just go to 13-1-2020 and we actually go 1-1-2021. So with that, that's the intro, and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, guys, we're going to continue on with the four dumb marks here. And no, four dumb marks does not equal one smart mark. So, guys, this week, let's kick it off with Monday Night Raw. Does anybody have anything to talk about with Raw this week?
The burial of Retribution.
Terrible.
Absolutely hot garbage.
Terrible.
This has been well discussed throughout the week. And unfortunately, because we talk about things after they've already been discussed, some of you guys listening to this may hear some of the same takes from the takers that have been out there during the week. But you open the show with The Fiend and Alexa Bliss, and one of the, I guess, I don't want to say iconic moments, but the shot of them two standing in the ring with The Fiend behind her and the red lighting and everything else, it just kind of set the mood for what I thought was going to be a really good show. Mm-hmm. And then you immediately flash into Retribution coming into the ring. I like the no sell that Bray and Alexa Bliss gave. Zero facial expressions at all. And then you cut, lights go out, Bray's out of the ring, you know, and the Hurt Business comes out. So again, we're getting retribution in the Hurt Business. And it's like, come on, man. How many times are you going to rinse repeat the same stories week to week? Like, you just had the draft, so let's freshen things up a little bit. But no, we get this match again, and you have Retribution lose. They're supposed to be causing chaos and anarchy, and yet you have T-Bar tapping out to a, not even the Master Lock. You have him tap out to Bobby Lashley's Full Nelson. Not the Master Lock. Nobody else is tapping. Tell me one other person that has tapped from Bobby Lashley's Full Nelson.
He put a Carl Apollo Crews on the shelf. That's about it.
Yeah, like, come on. For real? And then after that, you have The Fiend come out and take out all four members by himself. So really, like, what have you done with this new group?
As much as they had planned.
This is the problem with Raw when they write week to week. They have no long-term storytelling at all.
I said weeks ago that I felt like Retribution was just going to be another version of Nexus, and they're actually treating it worse than they treat Nexus. And I didn't think that was going to be possible. Like, they are the dumpster fire of the WWE.
And then Ali cuts a promo, you know, 45 minutes later in a show or whatever it was, and the promo was good, right? He delivered it great. He confirmed he was the hacker and everything else, right? But why didn't you, if you wanted to add credibility, and that promo to me added credibility to Retribution, right? It was the first step to giving them credibility, okay? Because they really haven't had any, right?
But you took it away.
You took it away before that by having them get destroyed by one man. So what he's saying, even though it makes sense and it gives the group credibility, it does nothing for them because they already got squashed by one guy after they tapped out. So what now?
The lock next week, like, it probably didn't happen.
That's what I can't stand it. I absolutely hate it. It just, you know, and I feel bad for Ali because this is actually a moment for him to shine. And I think he could actually do some good work with this. And I was going to give it a little bit of leeway because it's like, all right, something new for him to do.
Yeah.
But the way you kicked it off, I don't think there's anything that you can do to get me to ever buy into anything that they're going to do going forward. And it's just me talking here, but I don't know if I speak for the group, but that just,
gentlemen,
completely kiboshed anything for them.
I may have been the only one here like that was interested in Retribution going in. Not interested, but like, I'd stay offline. I wouldn't read any of the spoilers, who is who. No. Wouldn't read any of that just because I wanted to be surprised. Okay. Add that element. And it's just like, it was a wet blanket.
I hope The Fiend takes him out again and knocks him back into their old gimmicks.
Well, he does change people, right? He does change people. Like, you know, I was hoping he would change Kevin Owens back into the prize fighter KO.
Yeah.
He's just wrecking shop on people and claiming he's the best and, you know, stomping on the U.S. title as he holds up the NXT title. But, yeah, I don't know anything else. I mean, to me, the only thing to care about Raw and, we can touch on other stuff if we want to for the show, but literally the only thing that interests me on Raw is Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Adding her to the Funhouse is just gonna make it even better. I'm praying to the wrestling gods that they do not screw them two up, because they're the only thing worthwhile on Raw right now.
Don't worry, they will. There's one thing WWE is good at. It's screwing storylines up.
Yeah. And Goldberg's sitting in the wind.
Yep. He's just waiting for Bray to take over that WWE championship again. One more time. One more time.
Anybody got anything else on Raw? Because I, like I said, it's just going to make my blood pressure rise again for me wasting time.
Jason, what was your favorite moment on Raw?
El Gran Gordo. As much as I hate Otis, that was hilarious to me.
It was hilarious.
No, it wasn't.
It was funny. It was funny in a musical.
It was funny.
Whoa, now.
I will say this, though. I mean, it led to Miz cutting his shoot-style promos that he's been doing over the past couple of years to people, and I enjoyed it rather... I enjoyed it. I can't think of the word. But it was definitely Miz being Miz. And Chris, as you say, it's one of the reasons why you want him elevated up on the card because of the way he can talk on the mic when he does get serious. And, you know, to me, that was great. But other than that, I can care less about Raw. And we can move on to other stuff that happened in wrestling this week.
Well, let's move on to NXT. What are anybody have any takeaways from that this week?
I hate wheels. How do you hate one of the greatest inventions ever, the wheel?
Why does this wheel want me dead?
That, I mean, them two in the dinner Gargano segments are always done really well. They're great. Him stomping up the steps afterwards. I'm going to bed. Like, it was done really well. So I love the triple threat that they kicked the show off with. Mm-hmm. I think this is the best version of Kushida since he's joined NXT, and I'll keep saying it. Him with this serious, just bring the wood to you style is always enjoyable for me. He's been in there with Ciampa, Ciampa's probably my favorite in NXT. I just like his whole persona, his style, how he goes about things. So, and they, you know, beat the shit out of Dream. So, a lot of hate on the Twitter machine for Dream, given all the accusations that are against him.
But it's not winding down. No. It continues each week. This is even going back before TakeOver. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just since he's really come back. You know,
the hate is real.
If you really pay attention to some of the stuff that he is accused of, it is a little baffling as to why he's still on television.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. To go along in the same sentiment with Lars Sullivan, why is he still on television? Matt Riddle's another one. Austin Theory, who quit the show later. The hate towards him as well for some of his accusations that are out there against him. I don't know if Dream is ever going to recover and be where he was prior to anything coming out.
It even seems that his character has just changed. It isn't the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even necessarily his push. It's just him.
Yeah.
It's different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't...
It's not the flamboyancy anymore.
Yeah.
You can tell with his gear now, it's just basic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like me and Jason was talking earlier this week, he has no home. It's just like he just comes to work, go out to the ring, and just leaves.
That's it, yeah.
He's not
getting any storylines.
He's not
welcome
in the locker room or anything. It just seemed like, just put him out there,
just put him out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, a man that, you know, I thought was destined for the main roster and, you know, mm-hmm. bigger and better
NXT
things.
Title and everything.
Yeah. I mean, and who knows, like, all the accusations doesn't mean that it's actually happened. You know, I know some people say there is proof out there, but, you know, unfortunately innocent until you're proven guilty.
And
but
even with that, it's hard to recover from.
It is, yeah. I mean, once your credibility is shot like that, it really is hard. You know, almost like he's going to take a step back and maybe let it die out and see if he returns, if something can happen.
If it hasn't died out by now, it's not going to. I mean, the amount of hate and just like that's something they're really gonna have to strongly consider taking him off altogether. It's just not worth it. Company wise, you know, in the era and the times that we live in now, it's not worth it. I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
But I did like the I think the match of the night for me was the six-man, cruiserweight match. I've really liked Jake Atlas the past few weeks. I think, for me, his stock's continuing to rise. He had a couple good spots in the match. Almost died in the one. Thankfully, Swerve saved his ass on that one.
Yeah, his feet got tangled up on the bottom rope on that Spanish fly, and it could have been really, really bad.
Yeah, but really it bad. Seems like all, those six men, you know, they really have some chemistry going right now.
I've never seen Adonis before.
I think he's just been on 205.
I don't watch that. Yeah. So, yeah, it was my first time seeing him. You know, look-wise, like, it's kind of like, you know, everybody has their doppelganger, and to me, he's like Cedric Alexander Light.
Okay.
Between, like, the look and the haircut, like...
There's another guy they had. His name was, like, Tahuti Miles. Same exact character.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, see what happens with him. But, I mean... I said it before TakeOver, you know, Escobar and Swerve was one of my predictions for match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them work before in Lucha Underground. They're good. Escobar is perfect in his role with you know, Legado del Fantasma. There's pieces there that they can move around the board to make that Cruiserweight title worthwhile in NXT.
It's definitely in its right home right now in NXT. What they did with it at the beginning, you know, putting on Raw only in the 205, it just didn't work. And it stayed there way too long, but I think there's actually a little bit of traction with that title ever since it's been back on NXT. And it's where I at least enjoy it more.
All right, so are we going to get to the moment of the night?
Might as well.
The return. Of Pat McAfee.
Destro?
The reveal. It was McAfee all along. It was McAfee all along.
Son of a bitch.
I think they had to pivot in the storyline because of the injury to Ridge Holland.
Mm.
I still think McAfee was the individual behind paying Ridge to attack Adam Cole, as we saw at the end of TakeOver, and I think that's where the story was going to go. I don't know if they would have included Lorcan and Birch in with that, but given the injury, I like the pivot and making them out to be the hitman for McAfee because their style in the ring is hard-hitting and it's credible. You can see them taking people out.
Yeah.
So I like that. You know, he's going to get a lot of hate. He's great. He's great on the mic. His whole deal that he said on his show Thursday morning on the Pat McAfee show is to just stick it to the internet wrestling community. And one way that they can do it that goes above everything else right now.
Don't say it.
Say it.
Say it. Hashtag put the strap on Mac. Give him the belt.
Yes.
Give it to him.
Yes. Perfect time for it to do.
Perfect
it too.
Time. Perfect you have time. Cross out injured. You have Balor out injured. You have Adam Cole out injured storyline wise. There's nobody there in the main event scene. Why not do it?
Did you guys enjoy
He don't say David Arquette because he's different than Arquette.
How is he different?
He can wrestle.
He can wrestle. And he's one of the best, if not the best, talker on the microphone.
It's the same. It's the exact same. There is no difference. It's not like he's, you know, yeah, he has a sport background. I'll give him that. I actually didn't mind his match against Adam Cole.
Didn't mind.
It was probably the best match on the card. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say that he's championship material. Whatever I don't think it.
What else are you going to do with the NXT title to make it interesting? You have no,
I really don't know.
Now.
I ain't putting the title on Pat McAfee, though.
As you I
give,
said, like,
you
hey, listen.
You can give him all the mic time you want to give him. I don't mind him on the show. I really don't. So you can give him all the time you want to give him.
The Yinzer, in me, the 412, the Pittsburgh born and bred, the man that grew up in Plum Borough, 15 minutes down the road from where we record this podcast at, put the strap on Mac.
Bring Kevin Owens back and put the strap on Kevin Owens before you put the strap back on McAfee. No.
They can be like Undisputed Era Light. Keep the belt
like
on
Cross McAfee. Cross had the belt for how many hours that he left?
Yeah.
Part-time champ. To me. Then Finn gets the belt. He had it for, what, 2 weeks or something? He gets hurt. Part-time champ. So why not give it to this part-time guy who got mic skills, who got wrestling skills? And I'm not saying, like, give him a six-month run. Just give him, like, a month
or two. So if my options are belt stays on Finn Balor while he's injured or put the strap on Mac.
Give the strap to Mac.
No! there's no justification to put the belt on it.
Yeah, there is. We're the dumb marks for a reason. Put it on him.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I'll write 4 weeks of television tonight, and I'll have you saying, put the strap on.
And with NXT, that could give you ratings. Ain't that what you want?
You're behind. You want to get more eyes? People will tune in just to hate Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm. He could be on the Sunday morning football shows. The title in the background.
I don't have a problem with him being on the show. Do whatever you want to do with him on the show. Do not put the title. To me, that would take away all the credibility of that title. Whatever there is. And right now, it's probably the hottest, outside of maybe SmackDown, it's the hottest brand on of the WWE. And you're going to put it on an outsider.
But your whole main event tier is out. You can't not have your heavyweight championship not represented on the show.
I agree.
It's going to be hard enough for
my two options.
It's going to be hard enough for them to keep up in the ratings with Balor out, with Cross out. Who knows if they bring Cole back, depending on storyline. Yeah. Now you got Fish injured. You got Strong injured.
Who would you put it on?
What are you going to... Yeah, forget the fantasy booking of put it on McAfee, because realistically, they won't do it. Although, it's a hell of an idea. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Dumb marks here.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the heavyweight title?
Share this podcast. Let's get this wave going.
I'm telling you, hashtag strap for Mac. Put it out there.
The thing that would make most sense is putting the title back on Cole. Bring him back and putting the title on him. I don't know what you would do, whether it's another tournament or you just do one-on-one match and that's it. That would make, if you have to take the belt off Finn, I think this week was going to be when they planned on seeing where he was at this week and then going from there. So whether they make the announcement on Halloween Havoc or not this week, yet to be seen. But that would make sense to put the belt on Cole and then you can have another match with him. But you do not put the strap on him.
Say it, Chris. Put the strap on who?
Who shall not be named. That's where it's going to be. That's what it's coming to. You guys keep saying to put the strap on this man. All
right, so you brought up Halloween Havoc. Looking, forecasting for Wednesday night. Normally we recap the events of the week, but we'll give a little look into the future here for Halloween Havoc. Anything out of what's been announced that piques your interest as far as matchup-wise for Halloween Havoc on Wednesday?
The match I'm really looking for the most to is Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez. You don't see too many, you know...
Amazon.
That's exactly it. Amazon. I like that. You don't usually see that. You know, you get it occasionally, but I think this match has potential. We haven't seen Raquel wrestle too much on NXT. I don't even know, other than tag matches, I don't know if she's ever had a one-on-one match on NXT.
I think she's had one or two singles matches. Okay. They were like your typical NXT squashes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm really... Number one, Rhea needs to get a fuse lit under her again. Because, really, after she dropped the title to Charlotte WrestleMania,
that was it.
And she had such a fire under her, you know, last year at this time, going into Survivor Series and War Games this time last year. So I'd really like to see Rhea, you know, get reignited in NXT again. I have no interest in this Haunted House of Terror match.
I do. I think that's going to steal the show.
Okay.
And the only reason why I say that is because you got Jeremy Borash doing it.
That's a good
point. It's a cinema match. Borash is known for doing cinema matches.
Yeah.
And
these are two TNA guys that were with Borash down there.
Two TNA guys. I think this match will surprise a lot of people on Wednesday night.
Yeah. I'm a Dexter Lumis fan. Grimes,
he's going to the moon.
He did that. That's what gets me. That's what puts it over for me.
I'm not a big Grimes fan, but he's starting to grow on me. Yeah, he's definitely starting to grow on me. So I'm definitely interested in this match.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't care about either of these guys in TNA, and I still haven't been able to get caught on with them yet. And sometimes that's the opposite with me. If I didn't, I wasn't a Kevin Owens fan of Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. But when he came to NXT, I was all on board with him. You know, I became a fan of his in NXT. So sometimes, you know, it's just a different variation of the person. But maybe this week will change my mind on both of them. We'll see.
All right. Well, I think that's all for NXT, unless anybody got anything else. Anybody good?
Yeah, I'll just cover NXT UK this week. I don't know if you guys watched that at all.
No.
I don't watch it every week, but this week they did a contract signing with Walter and Ilya Dragunov. So this weekend was their contract signing. They're going to have a match this upcoming week. I'm definitely really looking forward to that. I mean, it's two bruisers. I mean, the look of each of them is completely different. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Walter versus Tyler Bate again. But, I mean, after the contract signing, neither one of them said anything on the mic. They just signed the contract, and then they beat the shit out of each other for 5 minutes. His chest, Walter gave him so many chops. It was beat red. It looked like his contacts, because he wears, these red contacts. And I'm looking forward to that one this week, too. Outside of Halloween Havoc, I think NXT UK is one of the shows I'm most looking forward to this week.
All right, well, now this is the portion of Bell to Bell where it becomes a handicap match, because we're going to talk about Dynamite and the AEW hater in the house, WWE Jason, can care less about Dynamite. So, Dynamite, obviously the thing everybody's talking about is the Le Dîner de Bonheur with MJF and Chris Jericho, and given your palate for things, you could go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot of middle ground. It was either love it or hate it as far as what I saw on Twitter and other socials. So just open up the floor for anybody that wants to chime in first on Le Dîner de Bonheur.
Can I tell you, Dawn told me about it, and I said no. Then he took his phone out and put it in front of my face. 2 seconds in, I'm like, get it out of here. No. Don't want to see it.
So listen. So AEW's done a good job of letting their wrestlers be creative and come up with stuff on their own and trying things out. For all the skits that we've seen over the years in wrestling, this one in 2020 was original, which I'll give them two credit for coming up with something original that we haven't seen before. We all know Jericho's a singer, you know, Fozzy. Well known. MJF has been a singer. He was, you know, on the Ellen Show back when he was like
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 or 5 years old. you know, one of those kids that you would like back in the day you'd see on Star Search that would come out and sing for Ed McMahon. You know what I mean? So I mean, it was original for me. For me, I like the banter back and forth, you know, the whole bit with trying to one-up each other with ordering a more raw steak was good. I wasn't a huge fan of the show tune portion of it, but I mean, like I said, kudos for being original. I can't knock you for some originality. And when I compare that to the Law and Otis segment on SmackDown, I'll take the originality and the creativity from the wrestlers instead of a bad pundit spin-off of a actual TV show.
When the segment happened, I'll be honest, I don't know, I forget what TV I was watching it on, but I was having a hard time hearing them. So, like, a lot of it got lost on me in the segment. So, whenever it happened, I was really thumbs down with it. I love the opening, like you said, you know, where they were trying to go back and forth, I'm going to have well done. Well, I'm going to have a medium well and back and forth. I thought that was funny. But once they start singing, that got lost on me. I actually did go back and watch it again today, and I was able to hear everything. And some of the lines in the song made me laugh. You know, a lot of people were saying, you're either going to think this is a home run or you're going to think it's a miss. I'm actually kind of in the middle. I didn't think it was a home run for them. Like, it's not going to be a segment that I'm going to sit there and go, like, next year, 1 year anniversary of this, I'm going to go back and rewatch it. Is it going to be something that I'm going to, you know, now that I've rewatched it, I'm not going to do a thumbs down on it. It's just, didn't love it, didn't hate it, but I'll give them credit for doing something original. I think if Vince did something like that, you know, I saw a lot of people say, you know, if WWE did this, you know, you'd all be saying how terrible it was, but because it's AEW, you know, you're loving it. I can understand the logic on that up to some degree, but, you know.
Yeah, but Vince would put, like, Drew McIntyre and, I don't know, somebody else in it. Like, he wouldn't use people that could actually sing and act and pull it off.
He would have made it more comedy than, they tried to make it a buddy-buddy thing. You know, like, I don't know how many.
I mean, it was a callback to your Dean Martin show tunes.
Like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of like the producers or the Odd Couple type thing too with it. So I don't know. I think if WWE would have done it, they would have just went way over the top with it. But Donald, I know you liked it. So
oh, I liked it a lot. I like that type of music, so it was near and dear to my heart. I like all the shots that they were throwing at all the other wrestlers and stuff too.
And that's what I thought was funny.
That was great for him. Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, for Jericho being the demo god and MJF being the ratings prince or whatever he's calling himself, there was about 100,000 viewership drop during the course of that segment.
Okay.
So breakdown wise, they didn't hold the ratings or draw more people in as it was going on live.
Here's actually an interesting tidbit, I think, to go along with that. When SNL does like segments like that, because they're more known to do it than any other show, when they do segments, that's a huge ratings drop for them. They constantly do it. But people don't like it.
Really?
And WWE does the same way. When WWE usually does something with that, you know, people tune off. So it kind of made me surprised whenever AEW gave it a try. But
it usually hits on SNL.
It's something that people will talk about, but people just don't like it, and they'll tune it off. Like, oh, I'll watch it later.
Never noticed that.
Yeah. Usually those types of segments will, you know, won't be, you know, good on the ratings for SNL. Hmm. Sometimes it actually, if they even do it on the monologue, the ratings for the show usually aren't as good.
All right, so then getting into the actual card of the show and the matches that took place, we saw the kickoff first round of the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament.
All four matches.
You know, with the finals being at Full Gear, you had to run all four matches last night in order to fit the tournament in before Full Gear because you're, you know, 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So we had Phoenix beat Pentagon. You had Kenny Omega beat last second substitute Sonny Kiss for Joey Janela, who tested or was around somebody that tested positive for COVID, so they were being safe there. You had Wardlow beat Jungle Boy, and then Hangman beat Colt Cabana. Any takeaways from the first round matchups?
Yeah, I thought Wardlow Jungle Boy was a great kickoff match to the night.
I did catch that.
Yeah, I thought I really thought Penta and Rey Fénix was going to be my favorite of the night, and it ended up turning out to be. But the thing out of the first round matches that I enjoyed the most was that we saw the return of the cleaner Kenny Omega.
So, did you like the girls coming out with the brooms and doing the dance and the over the top entrance?
No, I didn't like that because he's supposed to be a heel. And
That so much didn't really hit with me. I think the thing that made me go, okay, I get the cleaner, was the whole long intro Justin Roberts gave with the smashing Meltzer's 5-star scale and once
through his whole resume.
Yeah, once competed in North Carolina, that popped me for some reason. Like, okay, just random state throwing that in there. But yeah, I mean, he comes out. You know, I saw a lot of people giving backlash over this match because they said it was a burial to Sonny Kiss.
Mm.
I don't think this does anything to harm Sonny Kiss at all.
No.
You know, wasn't supposed to be in the tournament. You know, wasn't planned to do anything moving forward as far as character development or anything like that. So Kenny and Hangman, in my estimation, are on this collision course for Full Gear to face each other in the finals.
Does anybody not agree with that prediction?
No, right? That's not 100%.
Kenny's been pretty clear on the microphone over the past couple of weeks. He's a singles competitor now.
Mm.
The cleaner is essentially back. This was step one of that character transformation for him. So I got no problem with coming out V-Trigger, One-Winged Angel, match over.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I would have done different with the girls, and this could have been because of COVID, why they were across the stage and not, you know, with Kenny over on the same side. That could have been why, but I thought, you know, maybe what they could have done is been on opposing sides. And you know how, like, in the military, you know, like, whenever Navy men get married or whatever, they do the swords and you walk underneath that.
Mm-hmm. Put the brooms together. Brooms up.
Yeah.
With brooms.
Yeah.
no.
Other than them just sit there, like, pretend they're sweeping.
So we do know it was announced that Phoenix is out due to injury, and if you watch the match, you could see the spot where he got hurt on the reversed Hurricane Rana that he pulled landed awkwardly on his neck, shoulders. So hopefully it's nothing serious for him, and he's able to come back. So Penta will actually take on Kenny in the second round. An all-in rematch, which their all-in match was good.
Yeah.
That was, you know, one of my matches that I look forward to the most on that card. And then you have Hangman and Wardlow on the other side of the bracket. Obviously, we know what the finals is going to be like. Out of these two matches, which one are you looking forward to the most?
I really don't care about the Page-Wardlow match.
You could have put Jungle Boy there, in my mind.
I think that actually would have been a better match.
Yeah.
Because that... If you're sitting there saying you wanted to protect Wardlow because of he's 7-2 in AEW, not just this year, just overall. So he already has two losses.
You're not going to go babyface, though. Even though AEW doesn't believe in babyface heels, still you're not going to have Jungle Boy and Hangman go against
I don't know how much I consider Hangman a babyface still. I know Kenny's definitely the heel, you know, where they're going with this and... You know, I'm glad to see him back to the cleaner gimmick because it seems like so many people talk how, you know, he's not the Kenny Omega from New Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, you guys talked him up all these 5-star matches or above, mm-hmm. you know, and where's he at now?
How cool would it be, like, in this match against Penta, he have the glasses on, and then at the tournament, at the final,
the jacket
he have the jacket and somehow get the music from New Japan.
Or maybe the gray hair again. Because now it's more blonde, go back to the gray streak or something.
But if he gets the music, Devil's Night music, definitely.
Like, I'd be surprised on that unless they can buy the rights to it.
But it's not going to happen. I'd say that would be pretty cool if that happened.
All right. So moving on with the rest of Dynamite here, I think the other takeaway that I had that I liked from the show was the Moxley-Eddie Kingston. And... As I said last week on this podcast, and I told you, Chris,
you would get
Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley in an I Quit match at Full Gear, and that's exactly what we got.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
But this I Quit match, well, I can't say that because Roman and Jay's I Quit match is up there. But the build and the background and the stories, here's what I'll say as far as the I Quit matches and them two being similar. Both storylines are based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
There's history, there's background, there's real quote-unquote heat between the people. It's personal, and that's when you get involved in wrestling storylines. Mm-hmm. Moxley and Eddie Kingston have a long storied history together on the indies. It's well known. Their feud back in CZW, everything, like, them two have been up and down the road together for a long time, so... Kingston's great on the mic. Like I told you last week, he will talk you into the arena for the main event. Are you going to get a 5-star classic from him?
No.
No.
I'll get a 5-star classic out of Moxley, either.
But the whole point is to get them interested and invested in the match, and that's what he does. I felt Moxley's promo video package was great. Kingston's reply live on Dynamite to what Moxley's video package was, I mean, that's Eddie Kingston in a nutshell. If you say, who's Eddie Kingston, I'm going to put on that clip and let you listen to him. And it's real. It's 100% real. It's him.
I think he's been great on the mic. Match-wise, I'm not 100% sold on him, but I've loved him on the mic ever since he's been in Dynamite. It's him and Moxley, and we covered this last week. I'm not a fan of Moxley, but I think you need the stipulation to help build the match, because I think that the stipulation is really what's going to drive the match, to let them do whatever they want to each other.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Not sold on Moxley at all. John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, whoever he is, nah.
So do you think, what was it? So when Ambrose, is it when he debuted and attacked Omega?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you see the reverse happening here after the match, if Omega is the winner of the tournament?
Attacking Ambrose?
Yes.
I don't know if you get that per se. That'll definitely be your match at Revolution.
Yeah. I hope they hold off till Revolution.
Yeah, well, this is the last pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah. Right?
So they
so until February, maybe?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
yeah, they'll definitely hold off.
Yeah, they'll hold off, and that'll be, you know, you'll have your, you know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks to build up to that match. Don't know what else you can do for that feud based on what they've already done for them, too, because they had the unsanctioned match whenever Moxley first came into the company. But
now it's almost like just at least one different person. I mean, a little bit of a way, two different people, because, you know, Moxley's reinvented himself even more, has been the champion now, you know, went against almost everybody in the company that they've thrown at him. And, you know, now you get Kenny in a different frame of mind, and see where it goes different this time.
Anything else from anybody for Impact or for Dynamite that stood out that you want to get into at all?
No.
All right, so moving forward, we got Impact Bound for Glory is going on as we record this podcast. If you want to hear our predictions for that show, go to our YouTube channel. You can catch the breakdown for that. Next week's podcast will cover the results and fallout from Bound for Glory. Moving forward, Chris, I know you've been a big fan of the United Wrestling World Championship, and they announced their bracket for their heavyweight championship tournament that's going to get underway. Some known names in this. Looking at the eight men. You have Eric Redbeard or Eric Rowan from WWE. Peter Avalon is in this. You got the Mike Bennett. And the surprise name that I saw was Davey Boy Smith Jr.
From MLW.
From MLW.
So you have AEW, you have NWA, you have MLW, and then you have, I think there's like three or four territories in United Wrestling Network that are all involved in this. It's an interesting card, you know, for the tournament. At first look, I'm not sure who I'm sold on that might win it. My gut reaction's Bennett. I'm not sure how much I love that, but.
So if you look at bracket-wise, you have Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Mike Bennett. You have Fred Rozier versus Carl Fredericks. That's one half of the bracket. The other half, you have Peter Avalon versus Chris Dickinson. And then you have Eric Redbeard versus Watts. So
Carl Fredrickson, he's wrestled on Primetime Live already. Really like him. He's still kind of a new talent, so I think maybe he'll advance, but I don't see him winning it by any means. But I mean, I don't know what their plans are with this title. You know, maybe they want it to be, you know, a young title instead of someone established, so.
No, but, is this a promotion or is this
a bunch of
promotions coming together?
So when NWA was a sanctioning body before Billy took over, NWA had Championship Wrestling from Florida or from Hollywood. And that was kind of like their big show for the NWA. They broke away from the NWA. So they now have Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Championship Wrestling from Arizona, Championship Wrestling from Memphis. And I think they're working with two promotions in Vegas. So they are all under the United Wrestling Network banner.
Okay.
So this Primetime Live show is United Wrestling Network and NWA working together. to create. So it's really a lot of independent wrestlers, okay, you know, that do it. It's on, we've covered it a little bit, that's on every Tuesday night. It's a 90-minute show.
Oh, it's okay.
But they're charging for it on pay-per-view. Yeah. It's been a decent show. I've watched a couple episodes of it. I haven't watched it weekly up to this point. I probably will end up getting more involved with this tournament to see who becomes the champion. Again, my gut's Mike Bennett, but I don't know if I actually love that idea.
All right. I don't have any predictions. I'm just going to watch and be interested and to see how it unfolds. Looking forward to that. Moving on, we had the finals of the G1.
Yes.
And the Golden God takes home the G1 this year.
It's going to be an interesting Tokyo Dome show this year.
I believe so, yeah.
I believe they announced is going to be two nights again.
Yeah, so I'm okay with that. I don't mind it, given how long the show is, you know, splitting it up. I'm perfectly fine with that. So do you think they actually put the strap on him this time?
I hope they do. I'm over the two belts, though. Changing hands every time. I hope the thing at Wrestle Kingdom is that they split the belts back up. It was an interesting experiment. You know, I like the idea of it. I just don't like how every match is for both belts all the time. I think it's definitely something that's maybe taken a little bit of away from
the mid-card. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the mid-carders need their title back.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's too much with two belts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, you know, with any champion this year, you know, just lost a little momentum, you know, being not in front of a crowd and being COVID. But, you know, New Japan's slowly brought some fans back into the audience. So, I think it's time to put the belt on him, but we'll see how the build-up goes. You know, it's not official yet. You know, they usually do, like, one defense before they officially make the match official for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, Jay White, after the show went off the air, when they do how New Japan does their press conferences immediately after, Jay White came out and challenged him for the rights to headline the Tokyo Dome. Okay. So, in other wrestling news, we have the semifinals for the ROH Pure Tournament. I did not get a chance to watch it today to see who won the semifinals going into it. I said it would be Jonathan Gresham versus Jay Lethal for the finals for the Pure title. I would highly doubt if that prediction didn't hold true based on how the tournament has unfolded, but I'm going to enjoy going back and watch the matches. I believe Ring of Honor has done really well with this tournament. It's been a good way to reacclimate them in on the wrestling scene, and hopefully it'll bring people's attention back to Ring of Honor and get them off on the right foot moving forward here.
Yeah, it seems like this has definitely helped give them weeks of longevity. You know, how long this tournament has lasted. You know, we're getting close to the finals, so I think they only taped up through the finals. I think I heard that they're going to start filming again beginning of December, so we'll see how things go, what they do in between. Ring of Honor needed as much help as they could, and it seems like people have really enjoyed this tournament. So,
yep, it's been done very well. And, you know, one of the other things that has happened that's been shot and shown, EC3 coming in to ROH.
Which was a complete surprise.
Yeah, so I think you're going to see EC3 pop up in different places with this whole Control Your Narrative character. And if companies let him do it, I'm sold on it. Let him run with it. He's going to be teaming with the Briscoes to go against Shane Thorne and I forget the other two people. But not a bad way to get him involved and introduced into the footprint of ROH whenever you have him with two of the main pillars that have always been in ROH since the start with the Briscoes.
And I think it doesn't take away from any promotion letting him go somewhere else.
No, not at all.
I know a lot of promotions, especially back in the day with the territory system, they didn't like to share because it's like, well, I have this in the plans for him. What if you do something that hurts that? It's like, especially now, I think, I think fans would be more interested in seeing, like, whoa, you don't see anybody jump around from promotion to promotion. It would be different, and I think it would actually put more eyes on somebody else than it would to hurt them.
All right. Anybody got anything else for Bell to Bell this week?
A couple of little things that I wanted to bring up. Bleacher Report reported this week that Vince is in talks with Cena and Taker to return at Mania this year.
Jesus.
For it.
So look, I'm going to say this now. It's already been floated out there, and I believe it was confirmed this week that Undertaker is going to appear at Survivor Series in some form or capacity, and that makes sense given that it's the 30th anniversary of Survivor Series. And the dead man to have him debut at Survivor Series, come back at 30 years, do a little spot, that's fine. I do not want to see him in the ring again in a match. I think the Boneyard match was the way for him to go out. He's not going to get that. He's not going to get the, if you watch the five-part series on him, he's not going to get that dragon that Triple H said that he's chasing to end his career. The Boneyard was the best match possible for him to go out. It let him shine. It was done really well. It got rave reviews. Go out on a high note and call it a career.
It's like whenever Flair retired back in 2008. There was no better way to write somebody off than have them inducted into the Hall of Fame and then
lose to Shawn Michaels
the next night. It was a good match to do it. It was just a perfect send-off, and then they even did the send-off on Monday Night Raw. It was a great weekend. That's kind of what I think of with Undertaker. It was different, with him. You didn't know going in it was going to be his last match like you did with Flair, but then you got that series right afterwards to wrap everything up. And there's no better way, I think, to write him off than what they did with him this year. He didn't technically ride off into the sunset, but that wouldn't be the Undertaker anyways. He rode off into the darkness. And I can understand that he's much like Flair. They're both old school guys, and they're never gonna
be satisfied.
Yeah, and they're always going to have that itch, like Stone Cold always says. Austin says he lost the itch, but Flair still constantly has it, unfortunately, and I think Taker does too.
You think it's easier to walk away now, given COVID?
I think now is the perfect time to walk away for him.
Like, there's no fans, and you don't have that. I don't think you have that same feel.
Yeah, but he had it a couple years ago, whenever he lost to Roman, and they wrote him off, with leaving everything in the ring, and he still had to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have had it then, with fans, with everything. I agree. I enjoyed the match, for what it was. It sucks that's how he has to go out instead of actually being an in-ring match. But what else could you do?
I'm done with Taker. The last, the Boneyard match should have been his last. I don't want to see him no more. Now, if he comes out during Survivor Series, he should just come out as Mark Calloway. Hi, I'm here. And we'll go back to the locker room. Like, I'm done with the Taker.
Could be the virtual audience.
Yes. Yeah, just come out and give your little Miss America, hi, 30 years. Okay, you're good.
Because why was the Boneyard match so good for him to walk out? Because it was something that they could record in segments, and it showed him look stronger than probably what he was at the time.
Hey, for everything that you saw on the documentary, everything that he was dealing with, with the passing of his father, to record that the very next day and go out there and handle that and it come off as good as it did, that's even more props to do there. So yeah, I don't need to see him no more. And Cena, there's no need for him to come back. No need at all. I get it, like you want as many people as possible to tune in to Mania. But there's nobody that you could put in the ring with Cena. I think him and Bray last year with the Funhouse I really liked that.
I didn't like the match, but I loved it.
Like, to me, there's nobody that I can think of to have a match with. Like I said, my big takeaway for Mania this year, if you're going to bring back any old superstar, you bring back The Rock and you have him face Roman to see who the true head of the table is. of the Samoan dynasty family. That's your big star. I'm okay with that.
Technically, The Rock is retired. He has announced that he's not supposed to wrestle. So we'll see if that happens. I think it could happen.
They're both talking it up. Yeah. Like, to me,
if it's Hollywood, I want everybody.
It's gonna be in Tampa.
Oh, they pushed it back. Okay.
Yeah.
There's some legalese that they have to go around, but Vince wants to do it in Tampa because
still good, Dad.
Because Florida, they're, you know, it's a full go for fans in the stands. California is not going to ease up on any restrictions anytime soon. So for him to do an outdoor show, he's going to want people in the stands, and so he's going to want to move it to Tampa and give them the mania that they should have had last year. Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
Still no official announcement, but that's definitely what the talk is. So
one thing that I want to touch on real quick before we wrap up the segment, we talked about this last week on the pod, Chris, with WWE entering the podcast space in their shows. So they announced this week on the free version of the WWE Network, they're going to have episodes of Conversation Series, is what they're calling it, available on demand every day of the week. And the lineup for the shows go on Monday, you're going to get Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia. Tuesday, you're going to get Uncool with Alexa Bliss. Wednesday is After the Bell with Corey Graves. Thursday is Not Sam Wrestling with Sam Roberts. Friday is Swerve City Podcast with Isaiah Swerve Scott. Saturday is going to be Drew and A with Drew McIntyre. And then Sunday, you get The New Day, Feel the Power. So that's WWE getting into the podcast game. Like we said, they were going to. They were loading up to do that. I'm glad that they did put it on the free version of the network. So you could log on and catch those shows and episodes whenever you want. But just something I touch on that, you know, being the dumb marks that we are, we pretty much nailed that one on the head.
I mean, they're really trying to come at us. They're trying to take away our listeners. But there's so many podcasts out there. I really like to see that Lillian Garcia's was going to go on there. I like her show. She does a great job researching her guests, the questions that she asks. I think it's just a really good show, and I think that'll do a good job on there. There's a couple of them that I'm not interested in at all. Like,
I don't need talent.
Yeah,
like, I don't have a podcast. Maybe New Day.
The Drew Renee one doesn't interest me right now. I haven't watched an episode, so we'll see how that turns out.
New Day's podcast is good. I listen to New Day's podcast. They have it. I mean, it's the New Day. Like,
they're
funny. They're entertaining. Graves' podcast is good. He gets good conversations out of people. He knows how to ask questions. Because he's been around with a lot of the talent through NXT and that, he has history to draw upon. And I mean, that was the most open Roman Reigns I've ever heard on an interview with his podcast with Roman. So, you know, I'll listen to that. I can care less about Sam Roberts wrestling. So.
And I'm not sure about Isaiah Swerve either. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out.
You could just throw Pat McAfee on it.
Unless you give me Bliss interviewing Sasha.
New Day just interviewed Sasha last week. So that's if you want to listen to a good pod, that's a good one to listen to. So anything else in the wrap-up here from Bell to Bell?
I think that covers it. You guys got anything else that you want to talk about?
Nope. All right. Well, that was the hot tag segment brought to you this week on Bell to Bell. And enjoy the rest of the show.
Chug.
This week's Drink of the Week segment is brought to you by Last Call at the Dollar Drink Happy Hour from 10 to midnight and ordering 20 screwdrivers.
20?
20. Slapping that $20 bill down. Give me 20.
20?
That's how you end up on the booby bar. Okay? Which I have done.
Woo.
All right.
We need to discuss your parenting 101 segments after buying 20 screwdrivers.
That's how you end up becoming a parent. So this week's drink of the week is called Autumn Smash by Peter Straub or Straub Brewery Company out of St. Mary's, PA. It is a malt beverage with natural flavors. So not a beer as we've been doing on these drink of the week segments. Something a little different. I was at Duffy's Beer Distributor picking up random singles that we like to do for our Drink of the Week segments. And
you might want to clarify singles. That. Random singles.
It is the Drink of the Week segment. Sometimes you pick up random singles. That's what happens. But so I saw this and I grabbed it just because we are in autumn and fall with Halloween coming up, and I figured this would be a nice way to kind of transfer off from the pumpkin ales and Oktoberfest that we've been reviewing. So it's 4.1% alcohol, so not a whole lot of kick there as far as alcohol content goes.
Definitely on the lower end of the spectrum.
For sure. Yeah. So let's take a taste and give our review.
It smells like just a regular lager beer. Whenever I'm going out there, I'm like, I'm not really smelling it on the apple. And I don't know what kind of yeast they're using. I'm guessing it's some type of beer yeast in here, because that's what I'm tasting more than anything. I don't like that.
It tastes like Coors Light to me, which is no taste to me.
Tastes like beer.
It does, for being classified as a malt beverage, it tastes like beer.
It's definitely more. When I saw a malt beverage on the label, I was thinking more of like your Mike's Hard Lemonade, yeah. Your Smirnoff Ices type of, you know,
or some type of cider.
Yeah, some type of cider. I think it's like I think it's a beer that doesn't know its own identity. Like, doesn't know what it wants to be. Like, do I want to be a cider? Do I want to be a malt? Do I want to be an actual lager? Like, don't know. The apple is very faint. I think you are right. Like, you're getting straight.
I smelled it when you first poured it.
Beer.
Or like when you first handed me the cup.
Yeah, like.
I was expecting something completely different.
I mean, Straub, you know, if you're drinking Straub, you're normally drinking non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what they're known for.
It's 4.1, so basically right. Non-alcoholic.
Right. Yeah.
Jason, what do you guys think?
not my cup of tea.
Just the way you did that reminds me of that Golden Girls episode, whatever they're talking about the sperm bank. Rose just goes, ew. Rose goes, big help.
I only drink beer to dance or play beer pong, so if it gets the job done.
You need a lot of these to get the job done, unfortunately. All
right, going around the room here, on a scale of 1 to 5 sumos, how would you rate the Autumn Smash by Peter Straub Brewery?
I would have to give this a 1. I'm sorry, but
I'm going to go with a 1.
That's exactly what I was thinking, 1.
Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. This is definitely the first swing and miss from us on the Drink of the Week segment, guys. I would not recommend this to you at all. Definitely not something that I'll be going back for a second time. You're not gonna hit home runs every time you step up the plate, right? We've been on a pretty great run of having, you know, threes or better since we started this podcast in this segment. So we were bound to get a dud here eventually.
And right? The sad thing is, I mean, just from what it says, you know, it's Autumn Smash malt beverage. I wasn't expecting beer by any means. So,
like I said, yeah.
Now, is it a malt liqueur?
No, it's just malt beverage. Like, I mean, even like, you know, even if you're going malt, like, you know, your Old E's or your St. Ives or, you know what I mean? Like Colt 45's, like, it don't even taste in that category of malt drinks either. So like I said, this to me is something that it doesn't really know its identity on what it wants to be. It's not very good, but hey, can't always be winners out the gate. So.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. Well, that was this week's Drink of the Week segment. And as always, we ask that you pick up your bottles, cans, shots, glasses, red solo cups, whatever you're choosing to drink with on these reviews here, and hold them up high as we go to good ships and wood ships and ships that sail the seas. But the best ships are friendships, and friends will always be.
Cheers.
Salute.
Cheers. All right, boys and girls, every now and then on the Dumb Marks podcast, we like to go to our resident married person, Steve, with his parenting 101. I have no input here since I'm just a single guy. So, Steve, how's parenting going for you this week?
Well, so on this episode of Parenting 101, this will lead into some uncomfortable conversations you will have to have with your kids as they get older. So yesterday, my wife and I are in the living room and my 10-year-old daughter is sitting on a chair with us and we're having conversations. And I forget what we were talking about, but one way or another, it led to my wife making a comment and my daughter looks at me and goes, "Get your wife." And I go, "Get your mother." And she goes, "Get your wife." And I go, "No, get your mother." And she goes, "You've known her your whole life. Get your wife." And I go, "No, if she's your mother, you get her." And she goes, "Like I said, you've known her your whole life. You should know the jizz of it right now." And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You should know the jizz of it by now." And my wife starts cracking up. And I'm like, "You mean gist? T?" She goes, "Same difference." I'm like, no, it is not the same. It is not the same. You do not say jizz of it in anything at all. And she goes, "Whatever. It's the same. You know, jizz of it. No big deal, Daddy. What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Stop saying jizz. It's the gist. Get the gist of it. T. J-I-S-T. Exclamation point. Capital 84 font. T. Gist." She goes, "Whatever. I'm going upstairs," and proceeds to walk out of the room and leaves. I was not having that conversation with my 10-year-old daughter on the difference between jizz and gist. But just know that at some point in time, you will be called upon to have those uncomfortable conversations. And, you know, my wife, no parenting backup at all, left me in the trenches taking grenades, as a Vince Vaughn line once was referenced in a very funny movie. So screw her for not having my back in parenting at that point in time. And I just calmly turned around, walked out of the room, and said to myself, my 10-year-old daughter just said, "You should know the jizz of it by now." And that, folks, is Parenting 101. All right, this week in sports, folks, we got a lot of topics to cover and get into here. As we record this on Saturday, we had UFC 254, I believe. Yep. Khabib versus Gaethje. I actually watched the card. It was one of the more enjoyable UFC cards that I've watched in a long time. The fights were tremendous.
You don't see too many that only have one decision on the card these days.
One decision on the main card, and that was the Robbie Whittaker fight that went the distance. And that was one of the more entertaining fights on the card itself. Both guys in the third round looked like they were going to finish each other with big shots. So it was amazing to watch each fighter kind of gain their composure again and get back into it. So it was a hell of a third round there. Robbie Whittaker won by decision, so he's going to be next in line. He was the number one contender going into that match, and you know, no reason to take him out of that after winning there. So he'll look to get his rematch against Israel Adesanya, who's the champion who beat Whittaker, to take the title off him. And then the main event, we saw probably the pound for pound greatest MMA fighter of all time in Khabib. I'm not going to butcher his last name, so we're just going to keep it as Khabib. Come out and actually just put the pressure on Gaethje that I never thought. You don't see athletes in that sport at that high caliber just dominate by relentless pressure in the octagon, and that is basically the calling card of Khabib and what he does in his fights to his opponents. So I knew Gaethje was in trouble after the first round. He took probably the deepest breath I've seen a fighter take after round one. And I'm like, "Yo, you got four more rounds, buddy. You're not going to last." And sure enough, round two, Khabib gets the takedown, gets on his back, and finishes him off with a choke, with a triangle choke, and taps him out. Afterwards, Khabib calling it a career, retiring in the ring, in the octagon. You know, some speculated whether or not he would try to get to 30-0. He had mentioned in the lead up to this fight that he wanted to fight GSP, George St. Pierre. Mm-hmm. he always, him and his father, who he lost earlier this year due to complications from COVID, you know, he told his father that he would retire at 30-0. That was their goal. And his father not only was his trainer, his mentor, his best friend. So emotions were running high for him coming into this fight. And he stated in his post-fight interview that, you know, he talked it over with his mother and he told her that it would be his last fight. He just can't picture himself fighting in the octagon without his dad there. So he calls it a career. I legitimately think this is the one time where an athlete retires and it's going to be a true retirement.
Sounds like it. I mean,
so
can't write a better story than
no, not at all. I was happy for the win. Gaethje, look, Gaethje has nothing to be disappointed about. Like, Habib is Habib, you know. Thinking back UFC-wise, since the popularity took off in the 2000s, we've seen some all-time great fighters. You know, you had the run of Chuck Liddell. Then you had George St. Pierre. You had Anderson Silva. You had John Jones. You know, you had some other ones sprinkled in there with, you know, Couture and a couple other people. And now you have Habib. I mean, talk about seeing some greats. Like, to me, this is like what boxing would have been back in the 80s, where you had, you know, Leonard and Hearns and Hagler and Tyson and, you know, Foreman and Holyfield. Like, you have all those names that are arguably all-time greats.
Yeah.
So, like, that, it was a really good card. You know, if those of you that watched it, be interested to see if you enjoyed it as much as I did here.
Yeah, there's definitely some matches on that card that I want to go back and watch, so looking forward to it. Especially because they didn't all go to decision. Usually that's whenever I sit there and I'll read the results of the UFC fight and go, decision, 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 decision. Yep, I'm not watching this card. Like, I don't care how good the fights are, I'm not going to sit there and watch that many fights go the distance. So.
Nah, good card, good card. In other sports, Major League Baseball, we had Game 2 of the World Series last night. I'm sorry, Game 3 of the World Series last night. Saw the Dodgers, you know, pretty handily beat the Rays 6-2, I believe was the final score, to go up 2-1 in that series. It's going to be really hard for Tampa Bay to win this. You know, because they have so many former Pirates on the roster, I'm kind of pulling for them. I don't really have a dog in the race either way.
Yeah.
You know, to me, the Dodgers absolutely have to win this World Series. They spent so much money. They've been there a couple times. You know, they lost in, what was it, 2017 or 18 to the Astros. We all know how that played out with the cheating scandal. So, to me, they have to win it this year, given their payroll and investment into that roster. But, yeah, hopefully Tampa Bay can make it an interesting series. You know, I'd like to see it get to a Game 6 or a Game 7, just because I'm a fan of World Series Game 7s. Like, who's not a fan of a World Series Game 7? You know, Game 7 in any series to crown a champion is pretty special.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see how the rest of that series unfolds.
Donald, who do you think you got in the World Series this year?
I have the Dodgers because Mookie Betts. And I still can't believe the Red Sox traded the MVP. God, that burns my britches so much. Man.
You know, he is, you know, one of, if not the best five-tool players in baseball. That's the big thing. If you could be a five-tool guy, you're almost a lock for the Hall of Fame. Besides Mike Trout, I don't know who else you would even put into that category as a five-tool player that does it all. A lot of talk this week on how Mookie went into that clubhouse with that roster and took it over as his team, showed leadership and everything else, and his play speaks for itself. Like you said, you can't believe the Red Sox traded him away and didn't get a whole lot in return either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So surprising there, you know.
Sounds like a Pirates trade.
Pirates haven't had anybody that compares to Mookie since Bonds left for San Francisco. So, but yeah, you know, we'll see how the rest of that series unfolds there. Moving on in sports, some news out of the NBA. Stan Van Gundy agreed to become the Pelicans head coach. Doc Rivers signed on to coach the 76ers. Announced a couple weeks ago, Steve Nash is the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. So seeing some of those coaching vacancies get filled after the season. I like the hiring of Van Gundy in New Orleans. I don't might have been a little quick to pull the plug on Alvin Gentry, but Stan's a good coach. He's done a lot in the league as a coach. His knowledge and background, you know, is resume-wise can go up there with anybody that's out there as far as coaching candidates. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that young group in New Orleans with Zion and Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, who really stepped up big this year. So we'll see how that all shakes out in the NBA.
Did you see the rumor that the NBA is talking about maybe starting up around Christmas time again?
Yeah, I saw that.
I can't believe they're talking about doing that early.
I heard that because the Olympics next year.
Okay.
They want to have everything done before the Olympics just in case players want to go.
That can make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if that even gets pulled off. We'll have to see with COVID. I didn't even give that a factor going into it, so that's something to keep an eye on as well. You know, if you make it all the way to the finals, you know, normally end in the middle of June, and then you start preseason up, first games are, October, November for a regular season. So it's a three-month turnaround break if you play all the way through the finals. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, you wrap up, they just finished. So you figure Christmas, it's less than that, the normal time that they usually give them to have off. So,
yeah.
We'll see there. College football-wise, the Big Ten got back into action today, and we saw some upsets happen. Penn State lost to Indiana.
Heartbreaking.
Not really. I can't stand the Nittany Lions. I hope they go 0-6 or whatever, 0-8, whatever
their schedule is.
That's just the Pitt Panther in me. Can't do it with the Nittany Lions.
I'm a colonial. We don't care about any of that.
Let's touch on that Pitt score.
Notice I said Pitt Panther in me, not Pitt Panther team. You want to talk about just a dumpster fire. You start out 3-0. You're pounding your chest about not getting any preseason respect, and you go out and lose 4 straight. It's just... You know, Narduzzi needs to go. It's been 7 years of mediocrity. He's not going to get the program any further if he continues to stay. It is what it is with him. Has he recruited talent? Yes. Their defense was hurt a little bit with their top player opting out of this season. Kenny Pickett being hurt makes a huge difference for them. As we saw, they literally have no quarterback depth after him. So I don't know what he's been recruiting quarterback-wise for the last 4 years, but it ain't been much because fucking...
Signal callers.
Uncle Rico can come in and throw a football over that mountain better than the Pitt quarterbacks.
Shane Falco.
Yeah, give me somebody, but please. Like, unbelievable. Some interesting matchups. You know, Ohio State comes back. They blow out Nebraska. Michigan and Minnesota are involved in a good game right now. Alabama continues to roll.
Oh, God.
So, you know, I think we're headed towards an Alabama-Clemson rematch again. I don't know if you can, especially Bama, the way they're playing, the way they handled Georgia last week. I don't know anybody that can step up and derail them right now. They lose Jalen Waddle, first play of the game this week, so... That may hurt them, but they're so loaded, like, that might not even make a difference. Whereas any other team, that's a huge loss for a season. So, we'll see what happens there. Football-wise, NFL, the Raiders had an interesting week. Their entire offensive line has been out due to COVID quarantine. So, I think they're going to have... practice squad offensive line in against the Buccaneers, who made news this week by signing Antonio Brown, former Steelers, Raiders, Patriots wide receiver, who's had a bunch of off the field issues coming off suspension.
Anybody get bingo yet?
Tom Brady really worked his magic and got AB down there. Bruce Arians came out earlier in the year and said, been there, done that, don't want him. And I guess, you know, Brady's stroke is a little bit bigger than Bruce's because AB signed. So we'll see how that goes.
Tampa's coming for it this year.
Hey, listen, they're an EA Sports Madden roster. If you're drafting a team on Madden in franchise mode, you know, given your salary cap, this is how your roster would shake out. So they're all in this year. If they don't win it, it'll be really interesting to see what they look like next year, because AB's on a 1-year deal for vet men, Fournette's on a 1-year deal for vet men. Brady, I believe, has 1-year deal. He signed a 2-year deal, so he would have 1 year left. You have Evans and Godwin. Gronk signed 1 year. So I like their defense. It'll be interesting to see if the offense can gel and actually live up to expectations, because that is just a hell of an offense to line up against. You have Godwin, Evans, and Brown. There's not too many secondaries in the league that you could put out there that can handle those three weapons. So we'll see that. We have a big matchup here in the Berg this week. 5-0 Steelers against the 5-0 Titans.
Here we go, Steelers.
You know, history would say the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl, if you look back at that. So the big question is, can the Steelers stop Derrick Henry? Because we know Tennessee predicates their game on the run. Be interesting to see. Steelers having a lot of 100-yard rusher, and I can't even tell you how many games. It's what they hang their hat on. First game without Devin Bush. We'll see if Spallini can come in and handle the where's there as the, you know, the middle backer.
He showed up last week.
He did. I think the bigger loss that's not necessarily being talked about a lot is Mike Hilton being out this week. He does a lot for them as their nickel corner. You know, he blitzes a lot off the edge, gets tackles for losses. He as a nickel, he's one of the best nickel cover corners in the league. So that may impact them a little bit more than the loss of Bush.
Who's his replacement?
Cam Sutton. Okay. So we'll see how that will play out. You know, again, it's going to be bring your lunch pail. Smash mouth, old AFC Central type football. And a lot of people were complaining because they didn't flex this game to Sunday night. And when the announcement was made to move the Raiders game, they put the Seahawks and Cardinals at the 8:20 slot Sunday night. But CBS, this game was one of their protected games that they could select. So it's going to be at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
And that's good for me because I have to work Sunday night.
There you go. You get to see it. So, you know, here's the first true test for the Steelers. They have Titans this week, Ravens next week, Cowboys after that. So you definitely want to come out of this 3-game stretch 2-1. If I had to lose a game, I would rather lose Baltimore than Tennessee, because you play Baltimore again later in the year. It'll be tough to make up this game against Tennessee if you lose to them head-to-head. So if I'm going to have a loss, I'd rather lose to the Ravens than the Titans. We'll see how that unfolds.
And they're all three road games.
All three road games, yeah. So like I said, we'll see here. It'll be interesting, that's for sure. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to call it. I don't like to call it. Last week, I'm superstitious to where I got home after kickoff. Game was already 10-0. I didn't turn it on because I won't be that guy that causes them to lose. So hopefully my wife don't have me doing nothing tomorrow and I can actually sit down and be tuned in at 1 o'clock and get to watch the game and enjoy it there. But, yeah, any other matchups this week in the NFL that catches anybody's eyes as far as games to watch? Russell Wilson's playing out of his mind. We'll see if he continues on his tear. Aaron Rodgers in a bounce-back game, potentially against Houston. Hopefully not. I'm playing him in fantasy football this week.
Cowboys still on the sinking ship.
What a mess. Like, well, I don't know what you do there in Dallas. I think Mike McCarthy was the wrong hire to begin with. He's, to me, he's a coach that can't adjust with the times, and the game passed him by. So when you got players coming out talking about they don't play every play, you know, they've been out coached, they're not prepped well. Yeah, who knows?
That, some people saying trade for Fitzmagic.
Yeah, trade for Fitz. That's the other news that broke this week. The Dolphins decided to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick for Tua.
I get it, but I don't.
Exactly. You're one game out, right? You won three in a row.
Why mess with the team chemistry?
Why mess with it? Yeah. Why mess with it? Like, if you wanted to wait till after the bye week and go, hey, all right, Tua, it's your turn now. Like, granted, we're not there every day at practice. We don't see how he's developed, how he's playing. You know, Fitzpatrick knew, hey, this isn't going to be my gig forever. But like he said, he wasn't expecting it to be, you know, yanked out from underneath him after a three-game win streak where he's playing well and the team's starting to gel and roll. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the Dolphins felt pressure to put him in based off of how Joey Burrow has played this year so far, even though he's going to literally die on the field because Cincinnati can't protect him. And then you have Herbert for the Chargers that's out there that's playing really well and looks legit the part. So I think it's like, all right, hey, they got them two young studs out there. They're balling. Let's put our stud out there and see if we actually got the guy that we think he is when we drafted him. Mm-hmm. So we just see how they move on going forward. Other than that, anything else in the NFL catch anybody's eye as far as matches go?
No.
All right. One other thing I wanted to touch on in sports real quick, and I thought this was pretty cool. Chris, you and I have talked a lot this year, 2020, with some things as far as women in sports goes with, you know, Doris Burke calling NBA title games. You had Jessica Mendoza calling the World Series for the first time. A couple other things happening. And what was it? The game a couple weeks ago, they had a women's ref, two women's assistant coaches that were all going to be on the field at the same time. So Bleacher Report tweeted this out earlier this week that Candace Parker and her daughter and Serena Williams and her daughter joined as part of the ownership group for Los Angeles's new women's soccer league team.
Interesting.
So congratulations to them for becoming part owners of a professional sports franchise. And I think it's really cool that not only are they part owners, but their daughters as well are part owners. So, you know, kudos to them. Congratulations. You know, I think we're starting to see that pendulum and that stigma go away as far as women in sports and what they're able to do, what they're not able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like with The Rock purchasing the XFL, him and his ex-wife, Danny Garcia, are co-owners. So I believe they're touting her as like the first female owner of a sports league.
Yeah, I believe she has, well, they're co-owners, but like she is the, you know, he joined with her.
Yeah, she's going to be the controlling person.
Although everybody reported it as being him because of the name. But, you know, so she's actually, you know, the owner of a professional sports league, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Well, so kudos to them. Congratulations. More power to the women getting what they deserve for sure.
Did you see Serena sign her daughter up for tennis? Taking lessons?
Listen, it's only a matter of time, right?
That next wave.
That next wave. Next wave of Williams girls.
Get that next generation.
Starting to dominate. We have the Masters going on this week. Tiger completely shit the bed on Thursday, so I have no interest.
No. Yeah, that was the end of it.
Don't get me wrong. I might throw it on tomorrow just to see who's in the lead and if it's going to be interesting coming down the last couple holes, because that's always dramatic given the way they set up the course at the Masters on Sundays. But if you're like prime time during Steeler game or anything else, like, nah, dog, that's not for me. I'll catch it on SportsCenter. So, yeah, but
I got one last thing for this week. Just want to give a shout out to Doc Emmerich. He's retiring after more than 50 years in the business. Doc actually received the Foster Hue Memorial Award for the broadcasting field from the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2008 and was also inducted in the United States Hockey Hall of Fame in 2011. Doc was the voice of the NHL mean, he's definitely going to be missed. Unfortunately, I think it's a bad time to go out. He didn't do this ahead of time. You know, he did after the season was over, after the Stanley Cup. You know, no fans being there to get the fanfare. Yeah, I'd like to see at least one more game if he, or maybe if he would, you know, keep coming back and calling the Stanley Cup.
So on the flip side of that coin, I guess you could paint the picture as he didn't want to take away from the storyline.
I'm sure he didn't.
Of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. You know, being the professional that he is, he wanted to go out there, call the games, not make it about him, make it about the teams. No. And, you know, I mean, kudos to him. Absolutely, you know, we're getting to that point in our years and that, you know, broadcasters that we grew up on, that we listen to, that are voices for professional sports are, you know, retiring and riding off into the sunset. In Pittsburgh, we had that, what, 2 years ago with Mike Lang?
Yeah.
Calling it quits, retiring. I know back, this is several years ago, but, like, you had Keith Jackson retiring from college football and, you know, with John Madden retiring, you know, like, you have those voices that you grew up on. I don't think it's as big as it used to be whenever it was just radio. Mm-hmm. Like, you get that more from, like, the old school baseball announcers, like, yeah. Vin Scully and Joe Buck's dad, you know what I mean? Like, those guys that were with one team for 60 years calling games, like, yeah. You don't get that anymore. But Doc is for sure one of those guys that goes up there as being a Mount Rushmore as far as voices go for their particular sport that they call and cover. So
tell y'all rejoice when Collinsworth retires.
Now there's a guy.
That's sliding shot of him every week. If he can just keep sliding across the screen and keep on rolling out, I'll be happy as a lark. So yeah, not a big fan of him. But yep. So anything else? You guys good?
I'm good. You guys got anything else?
Alright, folks, that was this week in sports.
All right, boys and girls, that's going to do it for this week and for the Dumb Marks podcast. I want to thank WWE Jason for joining us and the inventor of the beer mosa, Donald. I appreciate you guys coming on this week. Hope you guys had a good time.
Yes,
yes, fun time. Yes, indeed.
Door is always welcome for you to come back. So, Donald, I know you're a big Halloween person. Next week we're going to be taping our Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep, we got our bottom five worst Halloween candies that we're going to list out next week.
Oh, already knew the bar. Yeah.
So if you guys want to, if you're not able to join us live, if you want to send in your votes, we will definitely add them to the tally. You can mail those in.
I'll send you in the candy.
Yeah,
so you have to eat it. So,
yeah. Hey, guys listening, if you guys enjoyed the run-in here by the two additional Dumb Marks, let us know. We'll bring them on from time to time going forward here for different things and different segments. Testing the waters out this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show from that standpoint.
So for our guests, are there any topics that we didn't discuss that you want to, floor is open for you right now?
The Hurt Business. That's it. That's all that.
So speaking of Hurt Businesses, and we don't normally get into stuff in the outro, but I forgot to add this in the bell to bell this week. On Dynamite, did anybody catch that Alex Reynolds was knocked out cold in the ring from the Dark Order?
No.
And nobody noticed?
No. I think I saw like Cody came out after the match. Like I saw.
That was the Private Party?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Isaiah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I caught it on Twitter.
The leg drop on him from the top rope.
I caught it on Twitter.
Did not catch that during the
when I seen the clip, I thought it was the best friend. I couldn't tell.
Okay. No, yeah. So that was, they caught a lot of flack this week for that they didn't catch it and nobody noticed it. They just continued the match and just dragged them along and tagged himself in and everything else and just left them knocked out in the ring and continued the match. So.
So, just a couple things to look forward to this upcoming week in TV. This Is Us, if you guys are a fan, if anybody's a fan of that, season 5 starts this upcoming Tuesday. Superstore returns this upcoming Thursday night, which will be America Ferrera's second to last episode.
Sad to see her go.
Yeah, very sad to see her go from that show. And then I think the one that, you know, most people will be looking forward to this week is that season 2 of The Mandalorian returns to Disney Plus this Friday.
Yeah. And just to tie in on TV announcements. This week they did announce that the Power Rangers movie and franchise will get a reboot and be back to our lives once again. So if you grew up in the 90s as a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, hopefully you get excited and hopefully they do it right this time. I believe the original Red Ranger will be a part of the cast in some form or fashion.
And you know Jason David Frank is going to be part of the cast because he's part of everything. Yeah. So, come on, guys. Come on. Give your honest thoughts on that because I know how you feel about him.
Do we have another hour?
One other show that I wanted to tout out there, and I don't have HBO Max, but I heard a lot of good things have come out about Swamp Thing. So
I haven't watched it yet.
If you're into DC original shows, it's been touted as one of the best ones. So if you have HBO Max, go back and watch it. I unfortunately don't have HBO Max, so might have to figure out a way to bootleg it like we do in the hood. And watch it some other way. But,
I got that too.
Okay, there you go.
Sweet. So yeah, I mean, if you guys out there don't watch anything like on the HBO stuff on the DC stuff on HBO Max, the DC Universe app is going away, so all the DC stuff's going to end up moving over to the HBO Max now. So you're going to get all those TV shows and everything. So real looking forward to that. I mean, pretty much once HBO Max launched this year, that was kind of like the beginning of the nails in the coffin for the DC Universe app.
I would say, yeah, my sister hooked on Doom Patrol.
I haven't watched any
of that. I sat down watching one episode, and I left, and they watched the whole season, and I'm still stuck on episode one. So they're hooked. They say it's good.
So, all right, folks, the usual, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, also now on radio.com, and pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. Steve, you want to take us home?
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, as always, feel free to email the show as well. You can email us at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. Again, that's dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. And this week's quote comes from the great Michael Jeffrey Jordan. To win, you got to lose. To be successful, you got to have something that's not successful. To be happy, you got to have disappointment. And with that, folks, catch you around the way.